Today's episode is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. I can't stress how important it is to have the proper luggage or baggage on your journey. We're teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to the link in our show notes. DB, it's time to move on. Time to get going. Have you been in quarantine? Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your coconuts in months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with hairy coconuts. Would you show up to the first day of school without a haircut? Nope. Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of the ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essential Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining. The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with Manscaped Crop Preserver Deodorant and Crop Reviver Toner. The Crop Preserver is anti-chafing deodorant, which ensures your afternoon stroll through the jungle doesn't result in sticky coconuts. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner and made with soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts to give your coconuts a special boost. Subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean. The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through the quarantine and welcome back to the jungle with a Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code SLOPDROP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com when you use SLOPDROP, S-L-O-P-D-R-O-P. Your first post-quarantine date will thank you.
Here comes a slot drop. I can answer that. That's a slot drop. What is that move? That's a slot drop.
Slot drop time.
Welcome back to the Slop Drop. This is Nathan Rogers, and as usual, my tag partners for this episode is the unluckiest man on planet Earth, Bad Luck Chapman, and the manager of champions, Mr. Stephen E. What's up, guys?
What is going on, Sumo?
How are we?
We got Bray Wyatt with us again and the Million Dollar Man.
Hey, you know, everybody's got a price.
What a tag team.
What a tag team.
Speaking of tag teams. Did you guys see the WWE's list a few weeks ago of their top 50 tag teams of all time?
Didn't New Day win it? Is that the same? Yeah.
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 Yeah. I won't go all. They named 50 of them.
You know, and here's the thing, like, you know, the water started getting muddy, you know, around 10, 15, you know, you started really questioning, you know, really? And some of them you'd say, God, they're seven, they're eight, you know. I agree with that.
I'll just run down their top 10 real quick. Again, they named 50, yeah, but 10, British Bulldogs, 9, Brothers of Destruction, 8, New Age Outlaws, 7, The Usos, 6, Legion of Doom, 5, The Dudley Boys, 4, Edge and Christian, 3, The Hart Foundation, 2, The Hardy Boys, and 1, New Day.
And, you know, in case our listeners aren't sure, this is pretty much going to be a podcast about the Nasty Boys. But the fact that they weren't even in the top 10 is just a shame.
We'll just do about 20 WWE and then maybe 20 WCW and then overall. Does that sound good to y'all?
Sounds good. We can run with that.
Okay, honorable mention. I got to say, Kade and Murdoch. WWE didn't even mention them in their top 50 in their three-time WWE tag team champions.
Yeah, they they won their tag team championship. I want to say on their debut as well. You know, they debuted and I think beat the Hardy Boys for the WWE tag team champions. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they carried it three different times. You know,
three times.
If that doesn't get you in the top
top 50.
I don't know what does, man.
Yeah. It didn't crack my top 20, but I wanted to give them an honorable mention. Mm-hmm. So
I think the biggest problem is just where Trevor's at now. You know, I think that since he's made a bidding for another promotion, maybe that's they were just kind of being that way. But
yeah, who knows? I feel like that they could have certainly, you know, certainly been in the top 20.
Where did the Nasty Boys place?
We'll get there. Oh, on the WWE's?
Yeah.
They placed
51. They made honorable mention.
I'm looking this up. Just call me Jamie. Number 41. They were number 41 on the WWE's top 50.
Well, you know.
Hey, big shout out to Brian Knobbs, man. He is he's dealing with some health issues right now. And you know, man, if anybody's out there and they have a couple of extra dollars, go to their GoFundMe page and he'd really appreciate it, I'm sure.
Okay, so my number 20 is a tag team that did not win WWE tag team titles, but I've got to put them on the list because they made a big impact. They're in the Hall of Fame. They wasn't quite what they were in NWA, but the Bushwhackers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, they were the sheep herders, right?
Yeah.
They were the sheep herders, yeah, the NWA, yeah. And they were some legit bad dudes.
They were ultra violent before ultra violent was ultra violent. You know, those guys, like, you know, if ECW had existed back in the early 80s to mid 80s with the sheep herders, they would have definitely been there and they would have been, man, I mean, I remember the sheep herders from magazines when, you know, you go to the grocery store or whatever, you need to start picking up magazines and reading them. And again, I think I've made it clear in the past that I grew up a WWF guy. And, you know, prior to, I believe, 88 or so, you know, you didn't see the Bushwhackers, but you'd seen the sheep herders. Well, you know, those guys, anytime you seen them in a magazine, man, they were sporting a crimson mask. They were doing, you know, doing big things. And man, it's crazy because my first time ever seeing them, you know, work on WWF television, you know, they're coming out and they're doing the, you know, you know, a kind of comedy act or a kids, you know, they were a very kid friendly act, which was not what I was expecting from them.
Right. And like I said, they never won the titles, but everybody knows who the Bushwhackers are. So
shout out to Luke. You know, that dude's cool. He came down for a show, and it was actually a TCW show. It was North Gary, but man, he came down. And we hung out with him. We went to same of that restaurant in
Hemingway's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, that dude will keep you laughing. Like he was just doing stupid shit, but it was funny. Like just a really
really class act, class act guy. You know, Luke is man, we had him down for an autograph session at Premier Pond, conveniently located at 904 North Glenstone, Springfield, Missouri. We had him there, and man, he was a class act, man. Like, you know, I remember, you know, we were doing the autograph session, and you know, he says, hey, you know, let me go ahead and stand up and stretch my legs. And he goes, you got a camera, a cell phone? And said, yeah. And he goes, pull it out. He went and stood in front of my, you know, my business, and, you know, did one take. That's all.
Cut a little promo.
One take. Cut a 30-second promo. And, you know, I was like, that's a professional right there. But, you know, Luke's a real good guy. What can you say, man? I
to have a good time. Likes to laugh.
Yes. Likes to have a good time. That's the best way to describe him.
Another guy who likes to have a good time coming in at number 19, the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff.
Yeah, boy, was there more of a red hot team?
Hated
as far as heels were concerned in the 80s more than Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff. you know, classic Freddy Blast, you'd bring those guys out.
Yep.
You know, during the Cold War, Nikolai would, you know, request everybody stand up and, yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Do the Russian, sing the Russian national anthem.
Sing the Russian national anthem, boy. Those, man, yeah. Those guys were great.
18, the Smoking Guns. Now, I know they came in with
a
real gimmicky, cheesy thing, but those guys could work great together. And you know what? Sonny made it even better.
Yeah.
Well, Billy and Barkun.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, when you think about it, when did they debut? 92, 93? You know,
I should say all these tag teams I've mentioned were prior to 2010.
Yeah.
The ones that I'm talking about.
At 2000, you know, or 90, 92, 93,
and Bart 93, Gunn
is,
but yeah.
Yeah, and Bart Gunn is, or Billy Gunn, I'm sorry, is still going pretty strong, you know, in AEW.
It's crazy how much how much of a star Billy became versus, you know, Bart.
Right.
Raw for All ruined Bart.
Yeah.
They could have used it to elevate him and make him a
star. Oh, man.
But
had they just stopped at the tournament and not put him in there with Butterbean, you know, he'd probably, you know, almost be, you know, at least a household name in the wrestling world, you know. Yeah.
Well, when he knocked out Dr. Death, and Dr. Death fell, so did his career.
Yeah. You know,
but for both of them, both their careers ended after that.
Well, you know, and what was it, like about 90 seconds that it took Butterbean to just land that haymaker that guy that he put him to sleep too.
Well, and that's what sucks. It's like, you know, that's his punishment. You know, you knocked out Dr. Death here. You know,
that's kind of what that was.
Just a horrible. I mean, we've done a whole segment on it. It's just just a bad deal.
A bad idea.
Number 17. I'll probably get a little heat on this one too. I've got the Godwins.
Now listen, weren't they Southern Justice before that?
No. They were Southern Justice after. But here's my thinking.
Okay.
Henry Godwin and Phineas, I loved it when they were the hillbilly, not the cheesy hillbilly Jim dancing around doing the.
From Little Rock, Arkansas.
No, it was from. Not from Little Rock, from somewhere in Arkansas, is where they were. But it wasn't Little Rock, but it was some. I forgot the. It was a fictitious town, but
I kind of swore that they were.
No, but they were billed from Arkansas. But before that, in WCW, are Tex Slazenger and
Under the Hoods.
Well, you know, I am not surprised that you've got the Godwins in the top 20, because without the Godwins, would there be the slop drop?
Anyway, real stuff, and they're more like. Really dark, twisted hillbilly type gimmick, and they do work well together. Tex Slazenger and I can't think of what the other one went by in WCW, but good tag team.
They wore the hoods, right?
Yeah, they wore masks. Held gold.
Well, you know,
times.
you look at what was it, Phineas? They went on to be Midian or whatever. You know, honestly, out of the two, I thought Henry Godwin would have been the one that kind of pushed forward, but you know, Midian and whatever, like he had a pretty good run during the Attitude Era.
He joined
Undertaker.
No, he's probably a 15-time hardcore
Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce is who they were.
Shanghai Pierce.
Great tag team. I feel they're really underrated. Yeah. They held gold several times. They beat the Road Warriors.
I don't necessarily disagree with you on their placement. To be honest with you, you know they did have their
had a bad gimmick.
You know,
I don't know, man. When they came out as the Redneck Hillbillies and they had that slop, man. I don't know. I don't know that they had a bad gimmick. I thought they pulled it off very well.
They did, but I liked them better as heels. I mean, when they were faces, you know, all the kids liked them, and they had Hillbilly Jim as their manager, and they had little pigs with them, and they'd do funny stuff. But I liked them more as the dark, twisted, sadistic hillbillies. I thought that was great.
Yeah. Good stuff.
16, Chapman, the Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
We think properly ranked.
People can say what they want to, but without a doubt, no matter what promotion they were at, they were champions. You know, somebody believed in them back in the day. They were champions, multi-time WWE, WCW champions.
It certainly doesn't hurt to have friends in high places.
Yeah, but even when your friends aren't there. Even when your friend, you look at the Nasty Boys back in their WWE run when they were heels. They were good heels. They really were. And those guys, they made it a long time. You know, they showed up. Sadly, they showed up on TNA. You know, I'll never forget they showed up on TNA, and I think they had one or two matches with the Dudley Boys or something, and it wasn't good. But man, I was a huge dude. I still remember the first time I seen them grab Sherry from Harlem Heat and do the Pity City, you know, and just like love them, man.
That would be a hard pass for me, dog.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that don't work for me, bro.
Shout out to Luke Langley.
Yeah. 15, I kind of cheated here. I got a tie. The Wild Samoans and the Head Shrinkers at 15.
Yeah. Which
should have just said the Samoan family.
Yeah.
Samoan dynasty.
Just include them all.
Yeah. I guess is that Safa and
Sika? Afa and Sika?
Sika, yeah. Offensive, that's what it is. Yeah, you know. You remember the old Samoan SWAT team?
Yeah.
From the mid-80s. I remember those guys, man. Those were vicious.
What was
that was the Head Shrinkers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fatu teamed with somebody.
Fatu and Samu.
Samu, yeah. Which WrestleMania were they outside at Las Vegas?
Nine.
Jim Ross's debut.
I want to say it was this, but it may have been another outdoor event. Regardless, I remember they were in a gimmick, and the state made them wear boots. Mm-hmm. Remember, they used to come barefoot all the time.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who they put over, but I just remember as a kid, I thought that was the stupidest thing in the world because they'd get distracted, you know, trying to step on their boots and put their boots on. And
yeah, they
ended up
you wrestle for your entire career without boots in the head.
Well, no, that was the gimmick though. Like, you know, Fatu would turn his back when Sika wanted the tag, and Fatu's messing with his boot trying to get it back off.
Oh, so they worked it as a
gimmick. Yeah, it was horrible.
I don't remember it, but yeah.
14, I've got the APA, Ron Simmons and Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's 14.
It's getting
man. Oh man, it's getting interesting.
Things get murky.
I'm telling you, buddy.
But you know what? Those two guys too. At the same, you know, that you know everybody nowadays. And I'm quoting this from JBL. I saw a thing not long ago on it. Everybody's about race, and there's always a race war going on and whatever. And you know, it's like those two guys right there. You know, Layfield said they're not best friends. That, you know, they're brothers, you know, and they fully believe it. And it's like
same with the Dudleys.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It just irritates me, you know, when look at that, but then you look at those guys, you know, you couldn't have better friends.
Right. Yeah. 13, Money Inc.
Woo.
Too high on the list, maybe?
I think they could have broke top 10. I would put them in my top 10, maybe top 5. No, I'm not going to go that far.
I've got a few
questions. They were great. 10. No, they got, man, you know, I mean, you know, it's funny. My wife is an accountant, you know, by trade, and I can remember I had bought some Funkos that were autographed by, you know, IRS and Ted DiBiase, and I showed my wife, and she just giggled to death, you know, at Irwin R. Scheister and the whole gimmick behind Irwin R. Scheister, the fact that he's an accountant that, you know, pay your taxes, yada yada yada, and not only that, well, he's teamed up with the Million Dollar Man. Who needs that account? But great tag team. You know, I had what, one two-time championships, I think? One,
yeah, not many, not I'm many,
sure,
but
the,
they
yeah, were not many, but
memorable though.
Yeah, very memorable, very, very memorable.
And great in the ring.
Yeah.
Number 12, the Natural Disasters. Maybe ranked a little too high.
I probably would have put Money Inc. above that.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah. I was a fan. And, like, you know, I mean, you know, we already despised Earthquake because of what he did to Damien. You know, you don't go and do that to Damien and get away with it. But, you know, he tagged with Tugboat, which
Typhoon.
But it was Tugboat at first, you know, and Tugboat, you know, turned on Hulk Hogan. How do you turn on Hulk Hogan, man? Yeah. Like, you know, they were best friends, and old Tugboat turned on him, and
Uncle
they
Tugboat.
Became pretty formidable. They
Don't
were
you
pretty
know
formidable
what, man, like, how do you have a more believable heel tag team champions than those two guys? Mm-hmm. You know, they're both just bigger than life and just massive. You know, who do you – You got to think like I think LOD ended up taking them at one point from them, but you know, and that's believable just because of how big Hulk and Animal were. But you know, for a tag team, you know, like God dang man, you know, look at these guys that you know showed up to the arena that night. They're like, oh yeah, we're working these two, you know, 500-pound apiece guys. Ugh. Yeah, you know, Earthquake. I know I'm taking the finish. Earthquake's just gonna jump up in the air and sit on me.
Yeah, those guys were like in their 20s, and they looked like they were in their 50s.
Yeah, hey, but you know what? Props to Earthquake or John Tenta or whatever, you know.
Fred Ottman.
Fred Ottman was Typhoon.
Yeah.
John Tenta. You know, God rest his soul, but props, you know, you look at how he did that finisher, man, and never hurt nobody that I've read.
I've never read that he hurt anybody.
And it looks, you know, it looks bad. I mean, looks like it hurts.
He was very believable. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, you know, he didn't necessarily look like your quintessential superstar so much as, you know, as he looked like that guy that, you know, you just didn't want to mess with on the streets, you know, and he was a legit tough guy. You know, there's no doubt about it.
Sumo. He was a Yokozuna.
Yeah. He was a sumo world champion.
Former SEC football player too.
Well, did he play? I didn't know that. Played for LSU.
Yeah.
Did he really? Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that, man. That's number new every day.
11, I kind of cheated again another time. I've got the Rockers and the Powers of Pain. Powers of Pain probably ranked a little too high. But I had to
before you say anything else, let me just go on record and say that I'm Sean and you're Marty.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, kudos to those you know, you always have the breakout. We were talking about that earlier, and you know, obviously, we know whose career went where. But you know, when they were together, breaking in the business, you know, they were a good tag team. They invented a lot.
Here's why they're so high on my list. One, they're kind of pioneers of being small guys in the WWE at the time. And of course, Land of the Giants. They were smaller, high flyers, so they were, you know, something different. They made a splash, I guess you could say. They've held tag team titles. They got one of the most famous moments in WWE when he kicked Marty Jannetty through the window. Yep. And without the Rockers, there'd be no Shawn Michaels. So that's why I've got them ranked as high as I do.
There's a good story on – I can't remember where I heard it from or if I read it out of a book or maybe I heard it somewhere. I can't remember exactly, but they actually had two stints in the WWE at the first, you know, in 88. They got fired because they got labeled as party boys and you know, maybe it was a little late to some shows or maybe even missed a show. And but ended up making it to the dance, and the rest is history.
And the Powers of Pain, that's just subjective. That's just my opinion. I threw them in there. I always liked them as a kid. I thought they were, you know, badasses and warlords.
They were definitely believable. Yeah. You know, definitely believable. And really one of the only times that you saw the double swerve, you know, on TV, you know, I mean, I don't know if I can ever remember, you know, seeing a face tag team go heel and a heel, you know, tag team go face. Like, you know, you saw Demolition and you know, in the Powers of Pain when Fuji dropped Demolition and went with the Powers of Pain, which instantly made them hate it. And you know, of course, you know, Demolition.
You better have the Faces of Fear on here with Ming and Barbarian.
We're talking WWE right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My apologies.
Number 10, British Bulldogs. They cracked my top 10.
Oh boy, I tell you what. My buddy Jim Fallon would have a big problem with them being at number 10. So I'm just curious if they're at number 10, man. Like I think I question what WWE ranked them at, like number 8, number 7, being real conservative.
Number,
you know?
they got them ranked number 10 as well.
Do they? Okay, yeah. Boy, I you know, I just think that you know that 50% of people's list might have them in the top, you know, top 5.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
yeah. questionable. It's arguable. Yeah.
Very. And I get the arguments. It's like with the manager list, man, I went back and forth, moved stuff around so many times. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm sitting here looking at it, I'm like, yeah, that's, I shouldn't have done that. But nine, I've got the Steiner brothers and their WWE run.
Yeah.
You know, I could flip those. You might could put Steiner's at 10 and the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you could. When the Steiners were the Steiners, especially at WWF, you know, they really brought like that high flying Frankensteiner off, you know, just in raw like power. Those guys, I was always a fan of the Steiners. I've always been a fan of the Steiners, and man, they're tough sons of guns, you know. And Scotty Steiner, I still think he's you know doing stuff.
The next two, we're gonna have people say that they're ranked too high, and we're gonna have people say that they're ranked too low. Again, this is 2010 and prior.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys are still active, but not necessarily in tag team. Number eight, I've got Edge and Christian.
Ooh.
They've held the titles several times, and without them, there'd be no TLC match.
And I'm just not a fan.
They did good, man. I was always a big fan of the 5 second post. I just read a story today that is it Hobbs? Is that the kid's name from AEW? Hobbs.
Yeah, I read that where he spent.
Where he went and grandma gave him $300 to go buy him some, you know, merch from the wrestling show, and he showed up with a pair of sunglasses and a beanie or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't believe that Christian was selling sunglasses for $200, you know, or the WWE was. Crazy. But no, look at individually, Edge, you know, multi-time world, you know, world champion, Christian current Impact and TNA heavyweight champion. They're both still at the top of the game.
Yeah. Seven, the Hardy Boys.
What do you think?
I'm not a fan.
No.
You just don't like tag teams, period.
Well, that's a lot of it. But man, I was never a Hardy Boys fan. I like Matt separate. You know, I think he's had some good gimmicks. But, like, you know, they were always into the hardcore stuff, which I'm not wasn't an ECW guy. I'm not a hardcore guy. You know, they were always having
the tables
or the ladders or whatever. And I just the high flying.
So you're not a TLC fan?
No. I didn't care for the high flying. They're actually what turned me off. I'm an 80s tag team and maybe 90s, early 90s tag team fan, but not a Hardys or Edge Christian.
We're going to get into your preference right here, I think. Well, after this one, maybe. Number six, I've got the New Age Outlaws. Now, this is, again, WWE 2010 prior. Exactly.
You can't talk about tag teams from WWE without mentioning these guys.
Oh man,
you know, Road Dogg, both of them today, you know, when they're, you know, and I know Billy's with AEW, but you know, the Hall of Fame, you know, when it came out, and just I remember Monday that they had a Monday night like Legends or something, and you know, he came out with this big beard and you didn't know, and the place just erupts.
And who doesn't know when they hear that, oh, you didn't know that? They don't follow that up with
your ass better call somebody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Number five, Brainbusters, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, WWE.
Okay, only if we're doing other organizations, right? Because they better be higher on the other ones. But I'll give you where they're at on this one, because honestly, they had a good run, but compared to their NWA, WCW stuff, it wasn't nothing.
Not so much sad. I think they had a good run in WWE. You know, of course, when you get paired with Bobby, you know
I don't think WWE really knew what to do with them.
Guess like where they're ranked on the WWE's list?
Low, where? I think.
They're right. Not.
They're not even.
Are you kidding? They didn't even make the. They didn't
I'll tell even you make why. Top 50. Because they're both on AEW every week.
Wow. Wow! Yeah, that is a shame. I would have probably pegged them at somewhere in between 10 and 15. You know, and that was being conservative. You know, I think that when you talk tag teams, you know, in the WWF, man, the Brainbusters have always got to come. Not only because, you know, back in the day when the tag teams would come over, I don't know if any other tag team coming over had the impact that Tully and Arn, because everybody knew that Tully and Arn were NWA guys and they were Four Horsemen guys. You know, that would have been equivalent to I guess Hogan going, you know, somewhere else in my mind. And you know, it's just it's crazy. I can't believe sucks, that WWF didn't or WWE didn't even list them in their top 50.
Flair and Arn had mentioned, I think it was Flair first, but they were talking about their time, and it was like Arn and Tully left to go to the WWF. You know, Flair stayed at WCW. Next thing you know, Flair goes to WWF, Arn and Tully go back to WCW. Yeah. Or NWA or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, why WWF didn't get Flair, Arn, Tully, and Barry or whatever together, you know, they just missed out. And I get Vince likes to make his own stuff. Mm. But you know what? Sometimes a different brand's not, you know, it's just as good. You know, push the guys that's going to make you money. They could have had Four Horsemen merch and WWF, and they would have made millions off of it.
Yeah, and they had guys on that roster that could have made the Fourth Horseman easily.
Yeah. Barry, you know, Barry, the four that I mentioned will always be the Four Horsemen to me.
Number four, Hart Foundation.
You know, gosh, man, the Hart Foundation was so good. You know, so good, especially, you know, in the late 80s, mid 80s, late 80s, when, you know, a lot of people may not remember when they used to come out in blue, you know, instead of it being the pink and black, they'd come out with like a kind of almost a baby bluish and black pair of tights. And those guys, man, like I still was a fan.
I think Neidhart's the one who chose the pink and black.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett was like, what? You know, and he's like, yeah, you know, and they put it on, or maybe it was Jimmy Hart, but mm-hmm. you know, somebody, Brett wasn't totally with it. And kind of, you know, that's what he kind of was known for whenever he finally
got done. You know, when you want to define Bret Hart's career, you know, I would certainly think that somewhere in the conversation you talk about the pink and black attack, you know, I mean, that kind of defined him.
I'm in the process of growing the Neidhart out here.
There you go.
It's slowly but surely coming along.
Could have been the Dolphins.
Number three, Chapman's going to hate this. And nobody may not like, I've got them ranked so high, but the Dudley Boys.
No, I love it.
This is where I have the problem. If we were talking about ECW, I understand.
They've won like 10 championships in WWE.
They've won. They've held every tag title in every major promotion, even WCW. Of course, it was after WWE bought them out, but they've held WCW, WWE.
Yeah, they did real good in ECW. Japan, they had that ECW, mud wrestling back ROH. Crap. Yeah, let's put everybody through a table so we can get over.
Voila!
Number two, Demolition.
Here comes the axe. Here comes the smash.
I was a huge Demolition fan.
Which version of Demolition are you talking about, though? Because if we're going to say Demolition, we're going to have to break down which version. Is it
the original
Barry
axe
and
smash.
Yep.
There axe smash, dude. I like axe smash and Fuji.
Yeah. Well, when I think of Demolition, that's who I think.
I don't ever add Crush.
Now, Crush, you know, Crush was kind of a late addition to the.
Guess where the WWE had them ranked on their list. And mind you, they held the tag titles for a very long time until the New Day broke the record. They had them ranked number 11. Not even in the top 10.
You know, but they didn't even have the Brainbusters listed. So, like, they're...
Yeah, it does surprise me. You know, I can't remember which WrestleMania it was, but, you know, the Brainbusters, or not the Brainbusters, sorry, but Demolition was working a tag team from Japan. And that, I believe, I want to say, if they weren't the tag team champions, I mean, they were chasing the belts, and they went to WrestleMania and lost to this, what I considered an unknown tag team. I didn't know who they were, you know. I'm sure Jamie could find out exactly who they were. And if you said the names now, I might go, oh, yeah, well, okay, you know, I get it now. But back then, I remember watching that as a kid going, like, who are these guys that just coming in? And beat Demolition, you know, in a match at WrestleMania. Crazy. But yeah, no, Demolition, those guys could do it, man. They could go.
What's your number one?
Number two. We're at number two, right?
Number one, LOD.
Yep.
Legion of Doom.
I knew it was coming. Yeah. And how can you argue with that? You know,
yeah.
What a rush. You know, We're not talking LOD 2000, right?
Nope. Let's move on to WCW NWA.
This is tough.
I cheated a lot here. I had to do a lot of ties. Honorable mention, though. Didn't make the list, but I got to throw it out there. Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, Brad Armstrong, and Tracy Smothers. Go back and watch that match with the Midnight Express.
I may not have a lot of input. I might catch a little bit of heat for this, but when you said Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, I kind of said to myself, who? You
know, it's a deep cut.
Like you said, guys, I'm a WWF guy.
They had a horrible gimmick. They'd come out in a Civil War general suit.
I remember them.
That wouldn't fly today, but
no. Well, it depends on what side of the Mason-Dixon line you were on, I guess.
So number 20, this is another kind of a deep cut. I've got the Skyscrapers. There's two versions, so pick. You know, and same with Midnight Express. There's a couple versions of them, but Skyscrapers. Mm-hmm. There was Dan Spivey and Sid Vicious, and then Dan Spivey and Mark Calloway, which is the Undertaker. Both versions were big dudes. Had Teddy Long as a manager, and
I'll never forget. We found a video one time of the Skyscrapers working these jobber guys, and they just like they wouldn't sell nothing. Man.
No, the one guy wouldn't.
The one guy wouldn't. Yeah. Like they end up. The guy rolls out of the ring, and he's in like biker leather gear. Dude, Dan Spivey looks at the other dude, tells him to get the F out of here. And Dan Spivey just commits to beating the hell. Punching this, kicking it, like it was bad.
And, he
showed him a lesson out there. This was after the match was over.
I tell you what, you know, that's a perfect example of, you know, and you know, when we watched it and we watched it all the way through, I went back a couple different times and watched it, and you could see like you could see it escalating. You could see what was coming. You know, you could see the guy.
Look at
was
this guy on the outside, and dude, like I can't tell you how hard.
Oh, he kicked him. Yeah, he kicked.
Well, and then you got Sid, who doesn't know how to throw a shoot punch. So Sid's over here throwing working punches while Dan Spivey's just beating the crap out of this dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number 19 probably could be ranked a little higher. When I say higher, I mean closer to number one. So, Pretty Wonderful, Orndorff and Roma.
Oh, you son of a! No, they need to be way higher. Pretty Wonderful was a great.
They were a great
tag team.
But when we start going down this list, like where would you put them? Because
I don't know.
I got to hear the rest.
I know Paul Roma can work, but I don't. I don't know if you can take any tag team with Paul Roma in it serious and put them more than 19. Like, I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Him and Mr. Saying, Wonderful.
Paul Orndorff. There's no doubt about it who the general of that squad was, you know. But
again, though, they were such a great tag team. They worked together well.
They were. 18, it's a tie. Again, I cheated a little bit. I got the Russians. And also got the Superpowers, Dusty Rhodes and Nikita Koloff.
The Superpowers, boy. You know, we had the privilege of sitting down and talking to Nikita, you know, about the Superpowers, and that was a good time sitting down talking to him and listening to him talk about, you know, how they came to be with the decisions and whatnot. I tell you what, man, like. That pop was amazing when Nikita come out to save old Dusty Rhodes.
And if those are wondering why I didn't have Macho Man and Hogan on the WWE list, it was because they only teamed a couple times. Nikita and Dusty teamed several times. They won the Crockett Cup and the tag title, so they were more of a tag team than just throwing two superstars together.
Well, Hogan and Savage to me were a gimmick tag team. Most WWEs are.
Especially when you're talking about the top guys.
Well, we knew what was coming. They were put together to turn on each other. I mean, that's the only reason why they were attacked.
Well, they were put together so they could.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They could sell a ton of merch, run it for 6 months or a year, and then turn on each other.
Yeah.
17, Nasty Boys again.
Yeah.
Both lists.
I would put them a lot higher.
Well, they're not going to be two or three.
No.
So the problem is we've got NWA and WCW. I would put the Nasty Boys 90s stuff in WCW a lot higher. But I can also think of a lot of tag teams from NWA that I would put higher than them. Yeah. So, you know, with them together, as long as I made the list, because like I said, I don't think they get a lot of credit. I put them together
is because eventually NWA basically became WCW.
Right. Yeah, and I get it, but it, you know, you've just got a broad era of tag teams, and it's, man, there's a lot.
16 Faces of Fear, Ming and Barbarian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love their WCW.
Tell you what, that is not somebody I would like to be in a bar with talking smack to. Get some courage going. And
if I walked in and those two were sitting down at a bar, I'd go over there and buy them a drink and try to be their best friend.
Yeah, it's the fan I'm hiding
behind those two.
Yep. Yeah. 15 from the Dangerous Alliance, two of, I think, in my opinion, the greatest tag team workers of all time, Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a shame.
Technician, boy.
And actually, these two guys are on this same list multiple times with different people. They only paired up that one time. I was like, man, can you imagine if they would have kept those guys together as a tag team?
Yeah. Well, Arn, like a lot of people in the business, just had the most respect for Bobby Eaton. You know, Bobby, of course, we don't have to go into how great of a guy he is and how good of a performer he is. I mean, hell, I read something just a couple of weeks back that Goldberg wanted to put Bobby over in Alabama
for his first loss.
Yeah, for his first loss, you know, and that's. You know, we all know, you know, how monumental that was in Bill Goldberg's career. But for him to offer it up to Bobby, that's awesome. You know,
at a house show. It's like a house show.
A house show. Yeah.
Huntsville.
Yeah.
But you look at how good Arn was on the mic, you know, because Arn was way ahead of his time on cut promos.
Yeah.
And which worked good with Bobby because obviously Bobby didn't like to talk. And you know, you think about how they both went on to be, you know, Arn went to the Four Horsemen, Bobby Stan Lane, and it just, could you imagine if they would have kept those two together, where those two would be at in history?
Well, there's rumor and innuendo that Bobby was a rumored somebody that they were wanting to make a horseman, you know, Bobby and Stan. Wouldn't that have been something?
That'd have been great.
Could you imagine? Yeah, could you imagine that that combination? You know, but great tag team, great tag team. Those guys, you know, that like you said, they complemented each other probably more so than 90% of them
lived on the same street for 12 years. I think you know, like we're at each other's house every day that they were home. They were actual, you know, legit friends. And then Cornette lived, I think, like the next street over or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
14, Minnesota Wrecking Crew. And I know there was various members of it, but I've got to put the Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson version in.
Yeah.
Without that, then we don't get Arn.
Yeah. You know, Ole doesn't get a lot of credit. And I'll be honest with you, I don't give Ole a lot of credit. But, you know, I was listening to, I think it was one of Conrad's podcasts the other day. And man, I listened to an Ole promo, and it was probably a freaking 3 or 4 minute promo, but it was when they were the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, and you know, god dang, Ole was good. You know, he was another one that was kind of before his time.
You know, Ole was one of those believable guys. Like when Ole talked, you like, oh shit, this is, you know, like
you believe he was a tough guy.
Gonna whoop my ass, you know. He was a different type of performer. You know, he looked like that old rugged uncle or whatever it was. You know, and. And, you know, since we're on the subject of Arn, you know, when was that? That was 84? 85?
85 and 86, I believe.
Minnesota Wrecking Crew, somewhere in there. Arn looked like a 45-year-old. He looks younger now than he did back.
I think, so on Arn's podcast, they actually talked about that. That's what it was. That's where I heard it. I want to say Arn was 26.
That's back crazy.
When he was with Ole, but he looked like he was, you know, 40.
Oh yeah. He's you know, he's perfected the art of looking 40, you know, for his entire career.
13, Arn Anderson again, the Enforcers. Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Yeah. What was the tag team called?
The Enforcers.
The Enforcers.
Really?
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't care for this tag team very much. I'm not a huge Larry Zbysko fan, though. They were good, but, I don't know. Out of all the tag teams, I think I would have ranked them lower than as far as Arn's concerned.
That's fair. 12, Arn Anderson again, and Ric Flair.
Ooh, man.
Yeah.
I got to put a tie in here. I got this kind of note at the side. Sting and Lex Luger as well.
A lot of diehards would make an argument that Sting and Luger should be ranked a little higher than that.
See, I would put them lower. And I'm a huge Sting fan, but I didn't care for them as a tag team.
I'm not a huge Luger fan, though. You know, the dynamic that they had was good, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Two best friends. You know, they were ultimately they became the heart and soul of WCW.
Here's what gets me. I remember to this day when I was a kid, teenager, whatever, and I was watching a Monday Nitro. And Sting and Luger came out. Sting still had his neon face paint, but he had the black hair. You know, he was still transitioning in. And they sat across from the hard camera, obviously, in the front row of the crowd. And I remember these kids come up, right? And I mean, little, probably 8-10 years old. They come swarming them with pens and paper. And Sting just sits there for probably 2 or 3 minutes while this match is going on, signing it. Luger never even acknowledges them. He's sitting like this with his hands on his knees. And like watching the match, these kids are standing there, and he never even looks at them.
He's working you, dude.
But they were a baby face tag team.
But he was turning heel.
It was just—I don't care. It was horseshit.
Hooked you? Yeah.
Nah,
hooked you.
Just horseshit.
He did what he was supposed to do. He pissed you off.
Hey, I have a similar story of a NFL superstar that. Played for the Chiefs that a buddy of mine saw a kid go up to him at a banquet and ask for an autograph. And Marcus Allen, piece of crap, turned to him and said, yeah, I'll autograph it for you if you got 10 bucks. Like, what? What?
Number 11, the Outsiders, Hall and Nash. And if I could do another tie, I'd probably put the Fantastics here.
You know, they kind of made it cool to be a cool tag team, you know.
They did.
Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, multiple time tag team champions in WCW.
But when I crack this top 10.
Individual superstars.
I agree, but when I crack this top 10, you're going to be like, where do you
go? Yeah, let's
see
where
we're going to go. American Males is number one. Go ahead.
Got the Ding Dong is number one.
American Males.
No, number 10. Males. Doom.
Ooh.
Ron Simmons. Betrayal.
Yeah, I can't argue with that right there, boy. That
rest in peace to
Is that Doom with the hoods on?
I liked them better with the hoods on, but
Yeah.
Doom is Doom. And what's crazy is they wasn't together very long at all.
No, they probably have like a year.
Maybe 2 years, I think, if that.
Well,
I don't even know if it was that one.
Was their manager for a while.
Teddy Long and Woman, number 9, the Hollywood Blonde, Steve Austin, Brian Pillman.
I was wondering where you were going to put them at, dude.
Yeah.
I loved it. I freaking loved every minute of it.
Yeah, they were good. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, Rick, how much you pay for that old statue over there in the corner? Arn Anderson standing there. Oh, man. You know, and the bad part is Arn Anderson wasn't but 30, 32 then.
Yeah,
50s. 8, Fabulous Freebirds. I mean,
Freebird,
they came up with their own rule, the Freebird rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. It's hard to argue that. Those guys, they were ahead of their time. You know, Michael P.S. Hayes was, he's special, man. You know, that guy knew how to pull strings that would just, you know, almost get him, almost get him murdered in every city that they went to.
So I know I've told Miranda the story and McBee, but when I was little, me and my dad, when he's been passed away for a while now, but gosh, I couldn't have been no more than 7. And we went to it was actually a Bill Watts event, and it was the Freebirds, Terry Gordy, Michael Hayes, Buddy Roberts versus Dr. Death, Steve Williams, Ted DiBiase, and Terry Taylor. They had three singles matches, then the main event was a six-man tag.
That'd be a good lineup.
Wow.
Well, Hayes was getting heat on everybody, and, you know, my dad, he was all into it, and, you know, Michael P.S. was supposed to be purely sexy, and my dad said something about calling him a prissy sissy, and there's back then they had like a rope was the barricade, and I thought my dad was going to come over the rope, but standing behind Michael Hayes was this giant Bam Bam Gordy, and I'm like, don't do it, Dad. I wouldn't do it if I was you.
Oh, man, and Gordy would have just ripped your head off. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, and shoved your head up your boudet, man. That guy was, you know, there's countless stories on you know, on him throughout the years of just how tough he was, man. And, man, what a great combination. You had PS that could work the mic like he did. You know, you had Garvin, who was kind of a workhorse, and you had the powerhouse. You know, Terry Gordy, gosh, you know, if there was a blueprint for tag team wrestling, that would be it right there.
Seven, Harlem Heat.
Harlem Heat number seven right now. Harlem Heat, Booker T, and Stevie Ray. Like, man, I loved them. I loved them. You know, in the 90s, they were great. Colonel Rob Parker, then, you know, Sensational Sherry. You know,
Colonel Rob Parker didn't come until after Sensational Sherry.
Was it after Sensational Sherry?
Yeah, Colonel Rob Parker and Sensational Sherry had an affair together. And then, actually, Parker technically never managed them by himself. He managed Bunkhouse Buck and Dirty Dick Slater.
And the Jump Rope Academy.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, just a great tag.
Helicopter pilot, from what I understand.
Yeah, yeah. he had a long career. Still, six Steiner brothers.
Where'd you rank them at on the WWE list?
Nine. WWE. So,
yeah.
Okay. Right here, seven.
Yeah, they're six. Is it six?
Yep, six.
Yeah, six. Yeah, yeah. I could get behind that. You know, those. Again, you know, when we first saw them pop up in WWF, the reason why we saw them was because of the work that they had done in WCW or NWA, you know, so, you know, pretty much the same gimmick, you know, the same story, or, you know, the same, they were the Steiner brothers. What could you ask for? You know, you got what you paid for. Oh,
five. Man. This is a dark horse. Again, this is totally subjective. This is my opinion. I've got the Miracle of Violence connection. Dr. Death, Steve Williams, Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Yeah, what was their tag team name?
They held a Miracle Violence Connection, which is a pretty cool name.
Yeah, that is cool.
They held two different tag titles while in WCW and tore it up in Japan as well, all at the same time.
Yeah, those guys. Could you imagine showing up and being enhancement talent and looking at the lineup going? All right, we drew the short straws tonight. We're facing Gordy and Williams.
There's a picture. They've got like WCW tag titles, NWA tag titles, Japan. I mean, just draped with belts.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. That's pretty cool. It's very, very good visual.
Number four, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard.
Four?
It's getting deep, boys.
I may see who the top three are.
Hey, I can't necessarily disagree. I definitely think they're top five.
Let me understand.
Number three, Rock and Roll Express.
Ooh, yeah, I can get behind that, boy. You know, and I've had the privilege of working with Ricky and Robert on numerous shows. You know, those guys, it doesn't matter. I mean, Ricky's, God, if he's not in his 60s, I don't, he's in his late 50s, early 60s, Toot is, or Hoot's in the same boat. I, anytime you ever go, it doesn't matter if there's 60 people in the audience or 500, man, you know, as soon as they break curtain, rock and roll, you know, they are one of the tag teams that the fans will get behind. And, you know, minus Ricky's, you know, little heel turn to join the York Foundation, I believe. I think they were constant faces, you know, like, you know, white meat baby faces their whole career.
Number two, Midnight Express.
Yeah. Man, how do you go wrong? But which version of the Midnight Express are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I've always liked Bobby and Stan.
Yeah.
But a lot of people prefer Bobby and Dennis.
Yeah,
I'm a Bobby and Stan guy myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know if you were talking about Randy and
oh, no. Although some people probably do prefer them.
Yeah, no, I agree. They could have been anywhere in the top three.
You can probably guess who my number one is. The Road Warriors.
Yeah.
It's hard to debate. So, now, Chapman, I've obviously left someone off. It's probably the American Males or West Texas Rednecks or the Filthy Animals or something like that.
West Texas Rednecks, that's also a good one. But so for me, one, you didn't mention the Faces of Fear.
Yeah, I did.
Did you? What number?
Number 16.
Okay. Then my bad, I just misunderstood that one. But the tag team that I'm talking about, the Stars and Stripes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I would probably have them level with Pretty Wonderful.
Yeah, I would have had to cheated to make it honorable.
Yeah, they could have been an honorable mention.
Well, I think if you're gonna have Pretty Wonderful and the Nasty Boys, I think Stars and Stripes were in WCW bigger than both of those.
Well, I mean, and look at Buff. You know, he was a part of four decent tag teams. Stars and Stripes, Two Cold Scorpio.
Honestly, the American Males was a shitty
American
gimmick,
Males.
But both those guys could work.
Yeah.
And Vicious and Delicious. So he was on four decent tag teams there.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I think an honorable mention for me would be Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
Scott Norton and Ice Train. Yeah.
You know, I thought they were good. Like, they were kind of, to me...
I thought Scott Norton was good. Ice Train, not so much.
Yeah. I thought they were a good tag team. You know,
about High Voltage? You got them ranked on number two?
No, I don't have High Voltage. But, you know, to me, Fire and Ice was kind of like WWE or WCW's version of Earthquake and Typhoon. You know, they were the big... They were both just big, big men. And you know, they could work and do everything. But, you know... I think those would be on there.
There might be a couple of tag teams on both lists that, you know, that I'd swap around. But for the most part, Sumo, I'd have to say that you compiled a pretty good list of tag teams.
And a shout out, you know, Killer Bees.
Give it a thumbs up.
I'd like to throw the Killer Bees in there somewhere. WWE didn't even mention them at all on the
list. Don't forget the Ding Dongs, man.
Ding Dong.
They're dinging that bell.
If you could compile a top 10 or top 20 list overall, who do you think goes on that list? Out of WWE and WCW/NWA.
LOD and the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
They would have to be on there. Yeah. I think the British Bulldogs would have to be on there. I think the Nasties would have to be on there because they're on both.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to leave Nasties off.
I'd leave Nasties out. That doesn't surprise me.
You guys want ratings or were you just wanting this thing to sink?
Unless I put them a tie somewhere.
Yeah. This podcast. Yeah. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, but this has to end now. This is a headache.
If you ask me, WCW, WWF guys, you know, Arn and Tully, obviously, I'd put them in the top five, but LOD would honestly probably be the number one. I mean, you got the Road Warriors, which were, man, those guys were just special, you know, fresh, you know, new big guys, brought a lot to the table. Then whenever they came over as LOD, it was the same, you know, same gimmick, different name. Vince wanted to put his little spin on it, and he did. And, you know, great tag team. Arn and Tully, of course. You know, I don't know where that leaves people like the Midnight, because they didn't, you know, they didn't get to perform in WWE. I'd say you did well.
I think my top five overall would be Rock and Roll, Arn and Tully, Demolition, Midnight, and Road Warriors.
Yeah.
But man, there's
and anybody that throws shade at any of those tag teams you just mentioned needs to reevaluate their position when it comes to.
I'd have Arn and Tully.
Yeah.
I'd have the WCW Nasties, the WWE Nasties. Pretty wonderful. You know, and then the Midnight Express.
Yeah, exactly.
But another awesome tag team that wasn't in either of these organizations that killed it during this time was Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody.
Boy, ain't that the truth right there, man.
Ain't if that I could the put truth. Them there, I would put them somewhere too, but unfortunately they wasn't a part of
it. I saw an old video of Stan and Brody making their way out to the ring. And, you know, Brody's got the chain and he's swinging the chain. And boy, he hit the crowd and kind of walked, did the scenic route to the ring. And man, it was like chaos, you know, chaos had ensued, you know, it was good, but crazy some bitches those guys were.
Well, I have a feeling we'll be hearing from a certain tag team that is disappointed they didn't make the list. But, you know, as our disclaimer beforehand, we said this is WWE, WCW/NWA prior to 2010. So if the Johnnies or toxic masculinity has anything to do with that,
man,
I'm sure we'll hear about
it. If you are listening and you haven't heard of the Johnnies or have been living under a rock and don't know who we're talking about, get on. You know, get on the interweb and type it up and look for them, because those guys are they're special, man. I really like those guys.
I do too.
You know, good stuff about them.
They're a little arrogant, but you know they're undefeated in a certain promotion. And hey, you know, give them credit where credit is due.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, guys, that about wraps it up. Follow us on Facebook at The Slop Drop, on Twitter at The Slop Drop 1. Check us out on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. We're probably there. Leave us a good rating, a good review. As always, thank you all for listening. Until next time, we are out of here.
Goodbye and good night. 1, 2, 3.